strong toxic brother looking at the stuff from yesterday. All the drama, all the strategy and silliness from CO to HOH. Every single season, you know he is the reason. You know what's happening. Rob said that he could do it. Tomorrow he will do it again.
Hello, everyone, and good morning. Welcome to our live feed update for March 7th. I'm your host, Taryn Armstrong, and I am here today with Matt. How you doing, Matt?
Good. Very happy to have some Big Brother back. It's been, challenge season took over for a bit. We're looking for some reality TV content and we got Big Brother back. You know, it's been what, since a year ago that we had Big Brother, there was nothing on in between, no type of Big Brother content in between now and then. So I'm excited that we have this back. It's been a fun couple of days, especially, you know, a slower start to the feeds, but I feel like we have some stuff to talk about today.
Yes, we do. We do have some stuff to talk about today. It was day 8. In the house, and I feel like I finally got something for you guys. I feel like I finally got some concrete information to talk about, discuss, to go over. So I'm very excited to help you understand. I think the actual layout of the house here, what we're doing with everything. It's maybe not the most exciting layout, but we actually have it to tell you now.
But those first couple of days was pretty unusual, right? I mean, I don't know if it was just, you know, me watching, but it sounded like you as well, like on the shows where it was like hard to figure out where all the pieces go. Usually when the feeds come on, you have like more gaming happening a little bit, at least. It was day, what, 5 or 6 or something. It just felt so strange. So I'm glad that yesterday finally kicked things into gear. You know, they had a competition, so they had more talks. They had more plans going on, more people, you know, discussing, oh, is this, a, you know, so yeah, I'm glad that it finally happened.
Yes, it's you know, it's a weird situation when half the house is immune, I think, at the end.
Well,
of the
yeah,
day.
Yeah. Might have something to do with it, but who's, you know, who knows?
Yeah. All right. So let's talk about what we saw yesterday here. We started the day with Rohan and Tina, who were talking a little bit. Rohan is trying to put something together. He's trying to build some kind of alliance. And the problem with Rohan doing this is that he is far too late, but at least he's trying. I can only imagine, like, if Rohan was the HOH this week, we would see a very different week in a very different house. But he's talking with Tina. They talk about, like, working together once the teams end, which is becoming a catchphrase in the house. Like, oh, once the teams end, things will get crazy. Oh, man, once the teams end, well, let's talk. Oh, man, when do you think the teams are going to end? That's when things are going to go wild. You know, once the teams end, well, it'll be
once
great.
Once the teams end? Yeah. I mean, look, I tweeted this last night. I'm just... Obviously, like, if we stay stuck in these same teams for the next until week 3 or until week 4, I mean, it doesn't take a genius to see, like, how this is playing out. Like you've been saying over and over, it's just these people that have not had to feel the pressure of any kind of, like, threat to their game yet. They've been fine, half of the people in the house. So it's definitely, you know, causing the game to kind of move at a bit of a snail's pace here while so many people are being like, you know, I mean, I should set up my game. I should make some relationships. But there's no pressure to, because I don't have to worry about being the replacement nominee. I don't have to worry about being, you know, if I keep my team strong, if I keep Kiefer in the house and make sure that we win again next week and have bad comp people on their team, then there's nothing for me to worry about. So I think I would not mind if they were, like, switching the teams up. Even, like, I wish they would have done it this week or maybe into next week. Like, fine, do your tribes, but do some tribe swaps. I mean, we got to mix it up. We can't have the same people safe every week.
Yeah, super in the chat says, once the teams end is the new when the pandemic is over.
Oh, yeah.
Let's hope it doesn't take that long. Rohan suggests, hey, why don't we work together? Why don't we pull in people like Kyle and Tara? Tina likes that idea. And so that's kind of in Rohan's head early in the day. He's going to go and talk to Kyle about it. And Kyle is kind of in on the idea. Kyle is going to let Rohan know that Kiefer has been trying to put Rohan on the block instead of Kiefer. which is exactly the opposite of what Rohan asked him to do. You can't really blame him, but it's still frustrating for Rohan, who suggests, oh, why don't we just flip the vote on Kiefer at this point?
Yeah, these two, I didn't know if this was like a thing or not, but yesterday it seemed pretty solidified that Kyle and Rohan, I couldn't think of his name, are working pretty well together so far. Like, they seem to like each other. They seem to want to make a group around this. I think they were trying to make a final two, couldn't really come up with the name. But yeah, it's obviously, you know, kind of awkward with the team of it all that you can only pick from certain names. I think there's other people on the other team that they would not, you know, like Kiefer might have thrown out a Victoria or somebody else that's like not the most connected on the other side as possible names. But when you only have so many to choose from, and Latoya is not an option, Jed seems to not be an option, it's like you only have so many to work with. So I doubt that Rohan will hold this against Kiefer too much, you know, especially now that, spoiler alert, Kiefer might be okay this week. So I don't know. I don't think it's gonna be too much of a problem, but I'm definitely interested to see how these two end up, you know, going forward in the game, Kyle and Rohan.
Yes, and they're trying to get a read on the house here, and what they seem to come up with is that they feel like the two guys, Jed and Ty, are kind of you know, running the show to some degree. That they're very you know, centralized in the house, and they are correct, but they make a mistake in that they think, okay, those two guys, Jed and Ty, they're in a majority alliance, correct. All right, the people in their alliance are Austin, Brayden, and Beth. Incorrect.
Almost.
So what we should do is try to organize the rest of the house against that group, and make sure that they don't run this thing. Wouldn't it be great if somebody put Jed and Ty up against each other? Wouldn't that, if those two on the block together, that would be great. I mean, we couldn't do it, not right now. Yeah, physically, actually, game-wise, you can't because they're on separate teams. But yeah, it would be great, you know,
and,
theoretically.
And also, they're not doing that. They're not. I mean, it's a great idea. I'm glad that they're thinking that way. But it's week. It's going to be week three. And even if that was an option, if they won next week, or one of them, you know, Rohan won next week and wanted to have the, or he had the option to put up the two guys, they're not doing it. I don't know. I don't see the fire within them that is like saying we need to make this move and take control of the game. I feel like what's more likely is next week they would go to the guys and say, so are we, like, you know, are we working together or are we not? It seems like, you know, we've got these two, like, that's what I'm glad this is the case here, because anybody who was worried about a Pretty Boys 2.0, I mean, anybody like Josh that thought it could be a thing, it seems to not be. It seems like these two separate pairs of guys are not 100, like, not even close to really being like as in lockstep as the Pretty Boys were. I don't know. I don't see it happening. I don't see them going after them as soon as next week. I feel like they could maybe take away pieces that are attached to those guys, but I feel like the two guys making that big of a statement, I don't know if I see it yet, but I don't know.
Yeah, I feel like everyone looks at like Suzette from season one and they're like, ah, don't put up two big guys, it'll backfire. But like Karen did. She was fine.
Pretty early, you know, on, yeah.
And the thing is, if everyone's saying they can't do it, then nobody's gonna do it.
And that's how they get to the end.
That's how they get far. And the longer you let them stay in the game, the more likely they are to start winning a lot of competitions. And so here's the thing. It's not about you can't put up the big guys early. It's about you can't put up the big guys early if you have nothing else. If you have no people, no alliance. That's why I think they're trying to build something. I do think that if Rohan and Kyle were able to successfully build this alliance that they're trying to build, I think they would have the confidence to put those two guys up if they had power and if they were capable of it in the game. But unfortunately, they're not.
If I could like get in contact with them right now, I think what they should be doing is trying to get closer to one of them, go to Jed or Ty, whichever one they feel better with, try to make like a better connection with that person, maybe be like, oh, let's make this a three, let's make this work. And then next week, if they want to take a shot at that pair, put the other one up alongside somebody else and just say, oh no, you know, it seems like, you know, that group maybe may have something going. You don't have to do them both together if you want to get one of them out, but you know, there's different ways to be creative with it. I just don't, again, I don't know if I see it happening.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is that trying to mount in opposition to the Sunsetter Alliance, which we'll talk about in a little more detail, and I've talked about them before, But we'll go into more detail. But trying to mount any kind of resistance against this alliance is so difficult with the teams in place, because it's already difficult to counter an alliance when you don't know who is in the alliance. And so trying to figure out who's in the alliance is always very important, but it's very difficult to determine if they're good enough at hiding it. And so to add on top of that, you need to pinpoint exactly who on the team that you are allowed to nominate is from that team and not just a disposable person on that team or on that alliance. You need to find the core people who are also on the same team and the same team that you are allowed to nominate. And then you have to hope that one of them doesn't win the veto. It's basically impossible to dismantle a majority alliance if they're playing well enough with the teams in place.
Yeah, I when we came into this season, I was like, oh, we haven't done teams right before. It's not, or not never, but we haven't done teams at least in a while. We haven't done teams of like this size. So I was definitely open to giving it a chance, but it's the kind of thing that it's like, oh, this seems like a good idea. But the second you start to see it play out, it's been obviously a little, you know, hard to figure out like what the gameplay is going, like how the gameplay can progress. But also, I think you've also talked about how it's Big Brother Canada, and to an extent that might not be exactly what they're going for, like the rough and tough gameplay early on. Like they may just be going for, you know, the easily digestible two teams of it all. You know, we have a Destiny and Defender written on the wall. That's why people keep talking about it in the house. They're like, this isn't going away tomorrow. Like we have bedrooms that are split up with the names in giant letters going across. I don't know why you think it's going to end on week three.
Yeah, my the conspiracy theories that I'm pontificating about on Twitch is that this twist was designed to intentionally stifle gameplay because they want it to be easier to edit and they want an easier storyline to show on the show. Because look, hey, Big Brother Canada 7 was high ratings, seven. You know?
I thought you were going to say BB Can 6 when they took the intense gameplay and turned it into something else on the show.
Yeah. I mean, who knows? Never give credit for something that could just be incompetent. So,
sure.
Kyle and Rohan do try to come up with names for their alliance, the two of them, but they don't really come up with anything too much. I know a lot of people were like really big on. They were like, oh, can we call ourselves the Two Horsemen?
Yeah, they're like, not the Four Horsemen. There's only two of us. How about the Torsemen, the Two Horse? Like, no, yeah. You can do better.
We get some veto players. Victoria, Tina, and Tara are going to join Kiefer and Josh in the veto competition. Austin will not be competing. The HOH is still not competing in the veto. Josh ended up picking Tina in the house guest choice.
Was it Josh or Kiefer?
I believe it was Josh.
I thought it might have been Kiefer, but I don't know. You're probably right. Either way, the rationale was, you know, a nominee has picked Tina thinking, you know, it's the older person that they can probably beat in the competition. So a lot of chatter about that earlier on in the day while they were all getting ready for the veto comp. But just, I guess, like the rush, the adrenaline rush of like knowing there was a comp that day is really like woke everybody up. Like they were all so sluggish around the house for the first couple, you know, the first 2 days the feeds were on or whatever it was. And comp coming, they definitely all decided to move around the house a little bit more.
Mm-hmm. So Rohan is going to talk with Tara about his kind of idea with this alliance. Tara is into it. Rohan talks about the importance of, since now she is playing in the veto, like go and win it, right? Like you win this veto, don't use it, because if you use it, I'm gonna go up. And she's like, okay, I get that, but I don't want Kiefer to go. Like, no offense, but I want Kiefer to stay. He's on your team. He sucks at comps. That's great for me. So if Kiefer's going to leave, then I might want to use the veto. And Rowan's like, I swear, like, I'm voting out Josh. Everyone's voting out Josh. Josh is the target. You know, don't use the veto. That'll put you in a good spot. And she's like, okay. She goes and she asks Austin in the HOH room. She's like, what do you want done with the veto? And Austin says, I don't need it. I don't want it used. And she's like, well, I just want to make sure that Josh is the target because, no offense, team talk. There's a bunch of her team in there. I think we would want Kiefer to stay because he sucks at comps. And Austin's like, yeah, Josh is the target. Don't worry about it.
Tara's a big one. Tara, she's a big one to jump into the gameplay here. She definitely, you know, as much as a lot of the other ones did, but she came alive yesterday. She was all over the house. She was talking to the people that she's close with, the people that she's not that close with. She's going to Austin before the veto competition, being like, you do want me to win, right? Like, or do you not? Like, trying to just kind of keep some kind of working, something happening with everybody. So I was impressed by her. I mean, just to say this now in case I forget, I have just been so impressed and happy to see that, like, the three people that I feel like have been playing the hardest so far, like, you know, not exactly who are in like the best spots in the house, but I feel like the three people who are playing hardest are the three, I think, oldest house guests between Tara, Tina, and Toya are definitely, well, three T as well, LaToya, are definitely the ones who have been like the most active, like plotting, or at least that's what we're seeing with, you know, that's what they're showing us on feeds, of just, they are constantly talking to each other. A lot of, you know, oh, nobody suspect that we're working together. It's like people see them together, but I don't know, maybe they're getting a little bit of like a, you know, people are kind of already disregarding them because they're the older players anyway. So I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but they're all talking. They spend all day kind of like check-ins with each other. So Tara definitely was impressing me yesterday of how much she was just making sure that what she wanted to happen, like regardless of if, you know, Kiefer was actually going to stay or go, who's to say, but she was like working overtime to make sure that that her plans or her ideas were out there.
Yeah, I think for me, it's kind of like a good hustle kind of situation. Like, I appreciate the effort, but she is very out of the loop.
It gives you stuff to talk about, yeah, at the very least.
She's running about a week behind, at least, and they've only been playing for a week. You know, we'll see where that goes with Tara, but she is trying, and I do appreciate that. Victoria is gonna talk to Kiefer, and this was a little strange. I am having a hard time understanding exactly where Victoria stands in anything. She's gonna talk to Kiefer and be like, hey, just so you know, I thought Josh was the target, but could be you, actually. I'm hearing it could be you, maybe. And Kiefer's like, what? So Kiefer goes and tells LaToya, he's like, I'm hearing that I'm the target. And LaToya's like, that's not what I was hearing, but I guess we'll figure that out. I don't know why Victoria also went to Josh and told him that he was not the target. And then now she's saying like, oh no, it's switched to Kiefer. I mean, Kiefer is Austin's target, or at least was, she also like talked about like how she's tight with Austin and Brayden. Like, I just don't know what she's up to.
Yeah, I'm not looking forward to, because I love Victoria. I've been having fun with her. I'm not sure if I'm looking forward to hearing the Taryn Armstrong analysis of Victoria's gameplay all season, because it's not going to be the greatest, but she's fun. She's fun to just pop into a room and propose an alliance, or she's fun to just, you know, kind of like stir the pot. Like, I don't know. She's not really getting anywhere. That's like, no, does she deserve like, you know, a 7, 8, 9 in a Stockwatch rating this week? No. But she has been fun. She has been, providing some good moments on feeds. I feel like they know on the episodes, they're going to use her as much as they can, however long she's in the house for. She's struggling to really find herself a spot in the house for sure. A lot of people keep kind of questioning like, where is she at? I think Tina has been one to keep mentioning like, I don't really know exactly where Victoria's at. She's not like, they don't not connect, but they just are like least connecting with her out of anybody. So it's like, she definitely is also, I guess, along the same lines of Tara, of like kind of being a little behind in the gameplay, not exactly knowing what's going on, but still trying to like get her hands in there and mix things up a little bit.
Yeah, there was another situation where apparently she felt like Josh asked her to throw the veto for him. She was upset about this. Now, we heard later from Kyle that he was in the room when it happened, and he felt like that was not what happened, that Josh did not ask her to throw the veto, but she was pretty annoyed about it. So, of course, that's going to come back around to Austin, and she's talking to LaToya and Beth. About how annoyed she is with Josh. She can't believe that he would do something like that. She thinks Josh is there's a lot of Josh you know, bashing, Josh,
you don't say,
alienating, isolating. You know, we talked a little bit about it from LaToya yesterday. Austin certainly is in on it as well. She thinks that he's really fake. You know, he tries to suck up to me. He's always bringing me tea. Unbelievable.
How dare he? Yeah, you see this, like, right from, like, lots of seasons of the people that are outcast early on are just outcast. I mean, to an extreme extent, like, of course, like the DB21 of it all. But like it kind of happens here and there in almost every season. But this is not a fun one to watch. Josh, I mean, from what we've seen, he's got some stories which are, you know, you choose to watch or listen as you please. But he doesn't seem like he's doing anything to, like, genuinely, like, be a nuisance in the house or anything. He's just, they decided from early on, obviously we didn't see what happened on day three. It sounded like there was a big blow up, but they decided we don't really vibe with him. He's not really working with any of, you know, he's not really crucial to any of our games by any means, probably going to end up going home this week. He's not somebody they want to be hanging out with. They don't want to talk around him. They want to play the game. They want to hang out with their friends, and none of them are looking at Josh like somebody that they feel comfortable around. So it ends up, you know, in that Big Brother house, it ends up turning into like, oh, I'm not vibing with this person. And suddenly they become public enemy number one, and we have to, like, you know, talk about them, and we have to make their life, you know, like when they look back on this week, when they all leave the house, they're going to be like, damn, we treated Josh like shit. But do they care right now? No.
I feel like we have this conversation every season where, you know, somebody's being isolated and nobody wants to talk to them, and everyone seems to, like, think that they're a pariah. And we're always like, man, we didn't see what happened in week one. You know, something must have happened. You know, like, they keep talking about it. Something must have happened. But I feel like it's, what could have happened, right? Like
blow up on day three. And was it even like a blow up? It sounds like he just, you know, acknowledged that, oh, there might be a pretty boy. Right. It seems like the boys are together. He, you know, and then word spread around the house and people seemed to not like Josh. So it probably got amplified, you know, even further. So it just, I don't know that I, you know, I feel like it. Also, if, you know, this is another story, if they want to, like, show us all that, or if that footage is all gone, is something that I've been wondering, like, are we going to see all of that beyond what we saw on the episode so far? Either way, I don't know. Could it have been that bad?
I think that, like, LaToya walking in on Josh talking to himself next week will be like, I mean, you know, he was just such a weirdo. Like, can you believe the kind of things that he would do? Like, you know, just really bad stuff. And, like, not referring exact, like, he really was like lose. Like, this is what he was losing it. He was just losing it last week. And what she's referring to is the fact that he was talking to the cameras, but the inference that we're getting in the week after, if we hadn't seen it, is that, oh, he was losing it. He was losing his mind. He was going crazy. And then, you know, it's like, whoa, I wonder what would have, I wonder what must have happened. He seems perfectly fine.
We got the senses right from his preseason stuff. I feel like everybody was kind of on the same page that, like, who knows what this guy is going to do? Like, he said it himself, you know, I don't feel like somebody like me has been really put on the show before. Maybe you could draw, like, loose examples from him to other people, but you can see exactly, like, how you might have felt about him going in. It's like, this is exactly what we were getting. So, you know, not much hiding behind the surface.
He's awkward. He's not a very social guy. And, you know, that, of course, turns into, you know what it does. LaToya and Beth, after that conversation, are actually gonna have a brief little debrief, they kind of reassure each other. So we know that LaToya has been very suspicious of Beth over the last couple of days, basically ever since the feeds turned on. The very first conversation we heard was, I don't trust Beth at all. The next day she talks to Sean and tells him that she doesn't trust Beth and that she'd consider getting rid of Beth, replacing her potentially with Tara. But they have a quick conversation here. LaToya says, look, as long as we keep our mouths shut and we stay loyal, we should be good. And Beth agrees. She says she wants the group to get far. They agree that, you know, even if they see each other hanging out with other people, that's fine. They're always going to be loyal to the group. You know, the idea is to prevent people from noticing that they're together, and that's, you know, been pretty successful so far. So, they're doing a good job. Clearly it's working and they're in a good spot. So let's not screw it up. We think, let's stay loyal. We're going to hear a little bit later in the day that this was a very good conversation for LaToya. or at least, you know, from her perspective, she feels a lot better about Beth after this conversation.
And how long is this going to last? I don't think very long. I don't necessarily think by the end of this week, you know, anything is going to be too dramatic. But just from what I've seen, what I've, you know, like watching these two interact, it just seems so like, you know, oh, we're good, right? We're good. Oh, we're good. Like nothing really to sink your teeth into with this. And that's why I think LaToya was feeling early on, like, I don't know if Beth is exactly with me. It's just their conversations are so game. Like, I wonder if you asked LaToya or Beth, either of them, like to name five facts about the other. Like, have they connected that much into the game at this point? Like, are they spending that time around each other? Tara and Toya and Tina, like those three are bonding so well because they'll talk about like personal lives and whatnot. And then they'll kind of go back and forth to the game. So they do have that deep connection. But if Beth and Toya have nothing, you know, going on that end of things, it's just going to be like, how far into the game can we get where it's just like, we're looking after each other, right? Yeah, I mean, but why? What reason do you have to look after Toya in week three when you're connecting to all these other people, spending your day with them the entire rest of the time? So I don't know that this is going to last. You know, I feel like look ahead 2 weeks from now, we're probably going to see that this is starting to splinter off. But for now, I guess they're fine. So, you know, that's important because that is part of this core alliance.
I mean, I think the key here is that these majority alliances, if they find success in the early weeks, especially when that success is aided by the structure of the game, they build confidence and trust in that structure, right? So even if Beth and LaToya don't like each other all that much, they can find comfort in each other because of the fact that their alliance is so successful. Every week that they are safe because of their alliance, they find more and more comfort in that alliance and find it more and more difficult to turn their back on it. I mean, think about last season when we, you know, when we saw that, I've completely lost her.
That's good. It's name, good. You don't have to talk Vanessa. About that. You don't have to. It's
when Vanessa was running wild, betraying her alliance left and right. They Who? Still kept her around because having her in that alliance and keeping it together was more valuable to them than you know, losing a member. So I would expect that if teams stay in place and this alliance continues to do well, I think that I don't think this will be an issue too much moving forward. This is something that they will probably deal with way down the line. Once we get down to it, like final eight, final seven.
All right. So let me just, I guess I'll plant my flag. No Beth and LaToya final two. No, yes, they will not sit together at the end. At some point before then, this is going to fall apart. But I see what you're saying for sure.
Yes. Kyle is then going to, with Rohan, approach LaToya. And he says, look, the time to pick sides is approaching. And they are concerned. Kyle is concerned that Jed, Ty, Austin, Beth, and Brayden have a strong side together and that they need to come up with something else to make sure that those people don't run the show. And LaToya's response is, yeah, I just think it's way too early to think about this stuff, you know? That was LaToya's response. But Tara comes up and they're like, hey, let's go find somewhere to talk. So they bring Tara up to the HOH room with LaToya, Kyle, Rohan, LaToya, and Tara. And they give the same pitch to Tara. Tara's in. She loves it because she doesn't have anything right now. And so they pitch that they should make a five-person alliance that consists of themselves, Kyle, Rohan, LaToya, Tara, and Tina. And then they want to pull in Kiefer as well. Once they vote Josh out, they can be like, hey, Kiefer, we're saving you. We're going to vote to keep you. Let's pull Kiefer in as well. Tara is all about it. She's like, yes, these are all the things that I want to happen. I want Kiefer to stay. I like Kiefer. I like Tina. I like LaToya. I like these guys. I'm going to be part of an alliance. Tara's like, I'm in. And LaToya is basically silent.
Yes, and that's going to, you know, we'll get into more with LaToya as she starts to have some other conversations about, you know, how much she's struggling with everybody wants to work with her. I mean, what a bad thing that is of, you know, all these different people that want to have you as a part of their group and, you know, whether or not she wants to accept all of this. But I mean, this group as a whole, why not? it's like, I guess it might not be the easiest for them because of some people that are not 100% ready to go with it, like Toya. And Toya, who's somebody who has, a pretty good influence over two of the other people within this group, being Tina and Tara. I feel like she can, you know, talk to them about which way they end up wanting to actually go. But it's good to have this option. And I hope that, you know, if they proceed to try, like, if the guys continue to try to come to them saying like, so we're doing this right, I hope she's not like, I'm not positive, let me just go make sure, like, let's see. It's definitely the kind of thing where, I mean, you're playing Big Brother, you're getting offered alliances, say yes. Say, I mean, what's the worst case scenario? Like, you end up saying, you know, in a couple of days, I'm not feeling good about this person. I don't know if this is going to be a good group, but I still like you guys. I want to work together. But I don't know, just the it's interesting to see the way that she was, to handling the news of alliances being brought directly to her. I don't know. It was weird.
Yeah. And Kyle, like Kyle too, is he's giving a caser speech of like, this is what happens in the beginning of the game. The cool kids get together and they get a majority, and then the other side never solidifies and they build momentum, and then they just run the show, and we need to make sure that doesn't happen. We're gonna fight. We're gonna have our side. We're gonna make sure that the cool kids don't just run this thing. And I'm getting flashbacks to Kacer pitching this to Memphis as Latoya's like, yeah, it's my side.
Yeah, but that season also didn't happen, so I don't know what you're talking about. But yeah, I do know what you're talking about. Yeah, Kyle and Rohan, they're really trying to make this happen here. They see how the alliances are kind of naturally forming, or at least the bonds are naturally forming. And going back to what I was saying earlier, if they are not naturally falling into this thing with Jed and Ty, like, might have been suspected, or maybe they're also just being hesitant because they don't want to create the Pretty Boys 2.0. They don't want that kind of target on their back. They know that kind of gameplay is not going to work, especially with all these other people in the house that they are all getting close with. So why do we need to make that happen if it's not going to naturally happen? So yeah, they're trying to put this group together. Fake Kyle Moore is not, I expected a lot worse from him, so I feel like my expectations were super low for fake Kyle. So I'm relatively satisfied with how much he's being involved in the game. And like, just to think back to like how I was assessing the other guy that, you know, got taken out, I didn't expect him to be much of a player. He was like 22 and I was like not expecting anything from him. So I feel like I'm getting more from Kyle than I would have expected from whoever was going to be in that spot. So, again, it'll be interesting to see how it all plays out with him, but I feel like he's willing to make something try to happen. Who knows if it will?
Yeah. And this is an amazing turn of events for Latoya if she plays it right. Right. Because sort of, as you were saying, like this, like, why not just accept this offer? Because right now, again, we're trying to figure out the structure, but yesterday I was guessing that the two guys, Jed and Ty, maybe Ted is their alliance name.
You can make them Tyson. That's a good name to go into a game with.
Jed and Ty I was guessing that they were at the center of the power structure, and that they had, you know, things over here with Austin and things over here with the Sunsetters and all of that. But I wasn't sure yet. But this was an opportunity for Latoya to be at the center of the power structure. This was her opportunity to take charge of the game, have the Sunsetters on one side, have the Kyle Rohan group on the other side. It's a great opportunity to find a way to protect Tara, who is a great person to have on her side, and make sure that, like, outside of the Sunsetters, Tara is one of the people that gets dragged along instead of one of the guys' people. You know, there's every reason to accept this. Even if she does want to be loyal to her own alliance, having this thing on the side that she is a part of, having Kyle and Rohan feeding her information that she can use to help protect the Sunsetters is a great thing. But she seems so hesitant in this conversation that I was very skeptical about where she might go with this. The first thing she does after this is she goes to Austin, and she still has on her mind, I'm concerned that Austin might be targeting Kiefer. And so she wants to make sure that that is not the case. So she asks Austin about the nominations, she says, like, where are you leaning? Austin says she doesn't really feel too strongly one way or the other, and she just wants to not have somebody coming after her next week, right? This is kind of her canned line that she's been saying over and over. When people ask her target, she's just kind of, I just don't want somebody coming after me next week. She does mention that she feels good with Brayden, Jed, Ty, Beth, and of course LaToya. And this is funny because those are all of the people that Kyle and Rohan just named as part of her alliance. but it doesn't really matter. LaToya says, hey, it makes sense to get rid of Josh because he's more capable of coming back at you next week. He's more capable of winning that competition. Kiefer's not winning anything. He's weak. Don't worry about it. what you should do is you should let Kiefer know that he's just a pawn, so that he feels good and that he's not coming after you next week. And then we'll take out Josh. And Austin says it's a very good point. And they, you know, they're like, hey, maybe we should work together once the teams end or something.
Sure, why not? Just to go back to the toy thing real quick. I mean, just trying to put myself into her shoes, I can understand how overwhelming it might be. And like, how silly does that sound? Like, you're playing a game and you get put in such a great spot. But like, I would be overwhelmed if I was like in that good of a spot where everybody wanted to work with me. And you have to like now be extra careful about what you say to everybody because you're working with almost everybody in the house. And like, if that ends up getting out and in one way or another, like that does seem pretty stressful. So just thinking about it from like, you know, putting myself into her shoes, I feel like I can get why it's a little overwhelming, but still you're playing Big Brother and you signed up to do it. So play your game.
You know what's more stressful? Not having power in the game.
Yeah, I mean, I would be stressed either way, and that's why I'm not playing. You know, that's why. As far as Austin and Toya goes, I mean, I guess let me just talk about Austin for a second, too. I don't know where she's at next week. I feel like there are so many people that are, you know, trying to make something happen with her, whether that's just because she's in power this week or whether it's because they do want to work with her. I have no idea what Toya's intentions are with Austin as a player going forward. I don't know if Austin and Brayden are going to be on the outs. I feel like people are definitely suspecting that from, you know, people on Twitter are seeing that like they could be people that are not, you know, the most best set up going forward. But if she can get a bridge going here, that was just butchering some phrases there. Then maybe we can make it happen. I don't know.
Yeah.
Build bridges. Yes.
The main goal with this conversation was to make sure that Josh was the target. And Austin is very willing. Like I have not heard Austin talk about targeting Kiefer in a little while. I believe, you know, a couple days ago, I said that I think the first night of feeds, I was like, I expect that over the course of the week, the majority will convince Austin that Josh is the one that needs to go. And I think it's already happened. And I don't think they even needed to try very hard. And I think that they have managed to do it in a way that has convinced Austin that it was her choice. I think Austin right now feels like, yeah, I hate Josh. I want him gone instead of Kiefer. And it was completely my decision that made that happen. I wanted this to happen. And that she wants Josh out at this point.
Because he brings her tea and she doesn't want it.
Exactly.
Why are you doing that, Josh? Stop being nice. What is wrong with you? My God.
Yeah.
You got to get this guy out of here. He is not somebody I want to live with. My God.
So the feeds go down for a while. When they come back, LaToya is finishing up what appears to be a full debrief for Jed about what happened with Kyle and Rohan. She is she's ratting out Kyle and Rohan. They approached her about an alliance. Everything they talked about. Jed, they think that you're in an alliance with like Austin and Beth. And I'm like, how silly is that? And he's like, yeah, I mean, great.
Imagine that.
Great for us that they think that, right? Because they're not suspecting us. You know, obviously I'm not in an alliance with Austin. That would be nuts. He's in an alliance with Austin. He's lying to LaToya. The plan is still for Josh to go. They're not changing their minds. They're not shifting the target to Rohan as of right now. Jed seems very unconcerned overall at the fact that Kyle and Rohan are trying to rile people up against this group, and for good reason. Again, the guys are safe. So if Kyle and Rohan want to take a shot, it'll probably land on Austin or Brayden or something. Mm-hmm. And that's perfectly fine with Jed and Ty. So he's not even like, well, now we need to get out Kyle and Ro. He's like, all right, cool. Let's still get Josh. And then, you know, we'll think about what to do next.
But, you know, well, I guess let me save this for, you know, when we get to the later conversation about post-veto stuff. But I don't think the book is definitely going to be closed on thinking about them. I think the, you know, especially if an option pops onto the block from that group that Toya was coming with the information about, you know, I definitely think wheels will start spinning. Whether or not the action will be taking place for that to happen is probably going to be a lot in the hands of Toya. I feel like they're going to, you know, if she's in the middle of both of these groups here and they're, you know, she's the one that's going to Jed or Jed and Ty saying, you know, this is what I'm hearing. Like, if they're going to say, like, do you think it's a big enough threat to our game? Like, you know, all of us, you, me, like the three of us here, then do we need to do something about it now? Or can we, you know, hold off on it and try to bring them in and make them feel better? And like, there's other people to go after. I don't know.
Yeah. LaToya says that she's very confused. She doesn't know what to do when people pitch alliances. She's just like, so many people are coming to me and they're just like telling me information. Like, hey, you want to be in alliance with me? I don't know what to say. And I know there are people watching this saying, girl, just lie. It's a game. And I'm like, yeah, that's exactly what I was saying. Just lie. It's a game. She's like, but it's hard. Like, is it? Was it hard to take out Julie last week? It didn't seem like it.
But he's a good liar, Mr. Among Us killer, in like every single round he plays. Not everybody knows how to lie that easily, but yeah, no, she should try a little bit harder.
I mean, like the thing is about people that are like, I can't lie in this game, is that like LaToya claims that she never once lied last week with Julie, that she always was on the up and up with Julie. But Julie came out of that house not knowing exactly what LaToya, like, she confronted LaToya. Like, we saw what happened. It's possible that you didn't technically lie to Julie, but the effect is the exact, there's no difference. There's no such thing as technically not lying when your intention is to deceive. So instead of being silent and being like, just be like, yes, because there's no difference other than the effectiveness in the game.
Sounds like an off-season podcast in the making here.
Yeah. Beth is going to join them, and LaToya is going to fill Beth in as well. So she did not, she was even telling Beth this very sensitive information about the game that could have been used to her own advantage. And that again was a bit of a sign that she is feeling a lot better about Beth right now. Beth lets them know, like, hey, just to give you a heads up, people are linking you three together, LaToya, Ty, and Jed. So watch out for that. They agree, stay strong as an alliance. Keep each other informed. Nobody is seeing all of us together, so we're doing really well right now. They're essentially controlling an HOH that is not even won, you know, is had been won by somebody outside of their alliance. And they're barely having to do anything to do it, to control it. So clearly this is very effective. They need to keep with it. And Jed reiterates, like, man, if people think that we're with Austin, that's great, because we're not. And then he goes and he talks to Austin. He's like, nobody suspects our alliance, Austin.
Yeah, he's been kind of hard for me to read just from watching. I mean, I see kind of the pieces that he's got on his board here. I see that he's like building some relationships across the house. But like, if Jed won, say we went to a normal week next week, no teams involved, and Jed was HOH, I don't know what he would do. Maybe at this point with the new information from Toya, that would kind of help to guide him into a direction. Like, I've heard people saying my name, I have to, you know, whatever. But overall, I feel like he's just been, his social game has been pretty good. He's been, you know, kind of bouncing between a couple of different people, a couple of different groups. So, I mean, just overall, I've been impressed. And yeah, he's doing well, him and Ty.
Yep. Austin lets Jed know that she feels tight with Brayden and Victoria, but obviously they made their thing first. They made their deal, their alliance first. So that's what she's most loyal to, this Austin, Ty, Jed, Beth Alliance. Jed talks about how Josh, like, we're agreeing that Josh should be the one to go. Austin agrees. So again, Austin very much seems to be on the Josh should go train at this point.
Beth, it'd be silly not to, right? Everybody's on it. If she was still out here pushing for like somebody else, I mean, we'll see after the veto ceremony. But like, I don't know. So to back it up, I guess like to 2 days ago, she could have definitely made a bigger move. There's people in the house where it seems like she's not, you know, most connected to them. It seems like she is making the house's move this week. But I guess maybe, I don't know, maybe this is more of a roundtable discussion of like, when she, or who would have been the most ideal target, or if this is something good for her because she's not offending anybody. No one's going to be mad at her going into next week. She's taking off the one piece on the board who, everybody wanted out. So next week, are people going to come after her? She's like, no, I did what you guys wanted.
Yeah, because that's always an effective strategy. I did what you guys wanted.
For week two, is that, I mean, I totally understand what you're saying, just but like week two, maybe.
Here's the thing. If she had a plan, if she was using this opportunity to get in with more people, if she was building alliances, if she was doing what people wanted and being included in groups instead of just blindly doing what the secret majority wants her to and getting nothing in return, then I would say, sure, like there's value there. And I'm the person to say, like, it is not always the best move to like blindly charge into battle. But she's blindly charging into battle and she's on the wrong side. Like she's not even looking at what side she's on. I think that she needs to be doing a lot more information gathering. I mean, at this point it's too late. Like, she's already, her reign as HOH is just about up, in terms of, the power that she wields. But the week is not over. There's still some stuff that she can do. But she's just being dragged along and she's just blindly, you know, doing what the house wants her to. And that's not like, if I see an HOH reign, like think about like Derek early on in season 16, he does what the house wants by taking out Devin. Right. But he was the one that started the house wanting Devin gone, and he is intentionally doing what the house wants. It's not my move. It's the house move. Because he is intentionally creating a sort of image for himself. And this is very much like Austin had every intention to take out Kiefer and just got convinced by social pressure that Josh was actually the more terrible person and that Josh should go instead.
Yeah, this is, you know, the first HOH. This, I mean, technically, even though somebody already went home, this is the first HOH. Definitely, you know, this is the spot where that person who wins that competition, if you're going to win this early on, you need to use the opportunity to build something around you, to make people feel scared because, you know, they don't know what's going to happen this week. Like, not show all your cards. Like, talking it out more. It definitely was like a little bit of just, it's obvious. I'm going to put Kiefer and Josh up. And, you know, nobody seemed to be sweating it. Also, the teams have a lot to do with that because half the people were safe. So there's a little bit of added, effect in on that. But I mean, yeah, the feeds are barely ever on Austin. She's got a couple of different conversations throughout the day, people coming into her room or her talking with Brayden. But usually like week one, you're like, especially BB Ken, I feel like you're so sick of the HOH because we're always watching them play or talk and whatever. There's just so much about the HOH. And this week has been so many other people that I feel like we've been following. Austin is probably like on the lower half of the list of people who have like had game conversations that you can report on. So I definitely agree. I feel like she could have been doing a lot more. She still has today, like you said, she still has some runway left to go before her power is officially like done for, you know, before she's got everything locked in. And, you know, people have no reason to tell her anything after Monday after she locks Noms in. But could have done more. Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, I think this next conversation is actually very illuminating in terms of where Austin stands in the game. Beth and Ty are going to talk. And this was the first real sort of like, we're running the game. Can you believe that they are letting us run this thing? Conversation. Beth and Ty are very hard gamers. They clearly are bonded to some degree and they know what they're doing. Beth is talking about how well they're doing. the importance of keeping their side things around until around jury. People like Austin are great to use to drag along, and then, you know, cut them around jury because you don't need them anymore. Ty is asking her how she feels about Austin in particular. She says, obviously we have her, but we can't tell her too much because she'll tell Brayden, and that's no good. Brayden needs to go. Speaking of Austin's position, Brayden is her best actual ally. And he is, in my opinion, by far the most likely person to leave next week, assuming that the defenders don't win an HOH. And that's not very good. The trajectory for Austin's game is leading her to a very powerless place. And she is a very powerless HOH even right now. So they need to continue to drag Austin along and not let her bring anyone else into their four. They don't want her to bring in Brayden because they want to get rid of Brayden. They want to keep Austin isolated and powerless. They seem very close in this conversation. There's a lot of there's even a little bit of flirting, and they mention that nobody really sees them together too much beyond the flirting. And so if they just keep it flirty, that they might be able to keep things a little bit hidden, but they don't want to overdo it and make people think they're in a showmance. Neither of them want that. And they both agree oh yeah, I don't want that on my back.
Yeah. Twitter's watching you, Beth. If you start making moves in on Ty, I feel like there's going to be a lot of jealous fans. Not too happy with you, Beth, but look, go for it. This too is definitely, two to keep your eye on here. They do seem, Beth in particular, seems like she is moving all around. She's got people that, obviously the Toya thing got kind of cleaned up a little bit yesterday. She's working with this side. People just overall seem to feel good about her. And I don't know if I think that's generally what I figured we might see from her when we, got to meet her in the two-minute video before the season started. She just seemed a fun personality, definitely likable, definitely somebody that's going to have a good social game. So as far as, expectations go, I feel like she's doing just fine so far. It's going to be when, the strategy all starts to ramp up a little bit, alliances get a little bit tighter. You got to work a little bit harder to keep the information in tight. I haven't seen, I haven't got a great idea of how she's going to perform in that kind of stage of the game. But for now, I feel like if her and Ty can kind of just keep things in the same, exactly how they know things are right now for them, and kind of keep moving forward at a steady pace, then they could be, you could see them probably in Final Four if they can keep this up.
Yeah. And so, in trying to understand where Ty stands in all of this, because yesterday he had a conversation with LaToya about how neither of them trusted Beth at all. And then today, the day we're talking about, he has a conversation with Beth where they seem very close. And so he has not told Beth that that LaToya told him that she doesn't trust her. He's also not told LaToya that he has a separate thing going on with Beth. So he is seemingly keeping the information away from both sides. I really like this, because he is making sure, as long as the alliance is functioning, you don't need your allies to get along. You just need them to not target each other. And so warning Beth that LaToya doesn't trust her could just, jam up the works. For now, LaToya is not going to do anything about Beth. So as long as he stays the course, he can maybe direct her away from targeting Beth in the future, if that's what he wants. And that's exactly what seems to be happening anyway, as Beth seems to have done her own work in making sure that LaToya won't come after her. So that seems to be where Ty is. And we saw from Jed that he is also lying to LaToya about the side thing with Austin. He seems to be a little bit closer with LaToya than maybe Ty. Maybe he seems to be more on the LaToya side. Maybe Ty's a little bit more on the Beth side. I'm not sure. But either way, these two guys are definitely playing all angles and keeping information close to their chest. We have not gotten any debrief between the two of them. That would be very, very telling in terms of how much are they on the same page, or are they just happening to kind of work cohesively because they're together, because they're grouped up. But are they doing this together? Are they in on it together, or are they just kind of playing their own game right now? If they are together and they are working, in sync, then I think they will be very difficult to top here.
They connected right off the bat, right? Like within 2 seconds in the house, you saw them, you know, link up and they were like, we're good. We got this. So I wouldn't be surprised if they, you know, in the days while feeds were not on, if they went to each other and, you know, maybe actually are following through with one of those, like, let's not spend a lot of time together so that people don't like link us together. Cause they aren't spending a lot of time together from what we've seen. So, once in a while you do see them together, like chilling in the kitchen, you know, they're both walking around shirtless and everyone's like, Hi, boys. But if they can like keep this up, if they can keep, you know, like you said, kind of playing on the same page without having to check in, every day, like they don't need to check in as much as some of these other people have been, because they know that they're good. And if they're both working kind of separately to gather information throughout the day, then they'll be set up. Is that exactly what's happening? I'm not sure. I feel like both of them, at least yesterday from what I was zoned in on, were not, the most active on feeds. It just seemed like everybody else was kind of doing a lot and, you know, obviously Jed and Toya had that conversation, but I agree. I feel like we need to see a little bit more so that we know exactly where they're at, who they're planning on working with, what their plans are going forward, because I don't know that I have a firm grasp on that yet.
Yes. So Beth is also going to warn Ty that, hey, watch out. People have been talking about the trio of you, Jed and LaToya. Now, I have a little bit of a theory here because Beth is definitely one of the people who is bringing up the trio of Jed, Ty, and LaToya. She arguably is one of the people spreading that information. She's also the person who is warning them about it. There was another part of this conversation between her and Ty where she talked about Julie and how she was very glad that Julie ended up leaving last week, because again, that puts them in a much better position this week, but also because she felt like Julie did not like how close her and Ty were. That Julie might be a little jealous seems to be the implication. And it makes me wonder if this whole rift between LaToya and Beth is something a little bit similar, not necessarily romantically sort of jealous, but a situation where the value of these two guys and who is closer to them is causing Beth to be like, hey, I want to be the person who has these two guys more so than LaToya. I want to have that power in the game. I don't want LaToya to have it. And LaToya might have caught on to that vibe and may feel somewhat similarly. And so they are kind of having a little bit of a proxy war over who controls the guys, which, of course, is, you know, music to the guys' ears, because it puts them in a good position. But I wonder if this is why Beth is warning LaToya and Ty about this. Hey, watch out. People think that you three are together. The implication is try not to hang out too much. Try not to keep bonding too often. Don't be seen together. Hang out with, you know, other people instead. So I definitely wonder if that's part of the motivation here. Beth is definitely a very savvy player from what I have seen. I think the way that she executed this move was pretty clever. It's essentially what Cody thought that Danny was doing in the early portion of season 22. But she's actually doing it and doing it successfully, it seems.
Yeah, I think that's a good call as to, like, you know, further analyzing the dynamics between those two. It's also definitely the Austin thing. If Toya doesn't feel, you know, Toya and Austin's conversations are really kind of surface level. There's not much actually happening there. So if Toya feels like Beth is anyway closer to Austin, then that's another reason for her to not feel 100% confident with her, because that's not really the side she's working with. That's, like, you know, on the very lower end of people that she's, like, invested in their success in the house and, you know, being tied to her. So again, going back to it, I don't know that I see these two, you know, making amends. For sure, if they can, you know, if their team, if their alliance can continue powering through the next couple of weeks, then it's going to be hard to kind of fully break it apart. But whenever the time comes, it does feel like that's the place that it's going to get started. Mm-hmm.
So Austin does go to Kiefer on LaToya's advice and lets him know that he is a pawn. He says that he is very grateful that she had that conversation with him, and he feels very good about the talk. So again, just more sort of confirmation here that that Austin is anti-Josh at this point. LaToya talks to Tina, and they have a quick conversation about how everyone's approaching us for alliances. What do we do? LaToya says that nobody suspects that the two of them are together at all, that people are suspecting that she's with the guys, which is annoying, but at least nobody suspects her and Tina. Who would guess? Who would guess these two? Tina and Toya.
Don't you love that? I mean, like, it's every season. It's every people, every pair that gets together. Who would suspect us? Who would think that we would get together? It's like, you're in a house with 14 people, 13 now. People are going to suspect that you work together. It's like, no one would ever suspect you and me. Like, would they not?
Yeah. She lets Tina know that she feels much better about Beth after their talk, that she's feeling very good. And Tina says, that makes me feel great, because I haven't had that conversation with her, but I trust you. If you feel good about Beth, then I'm in. LaToya says that, she's like, earlier Kiefer was like, hey, I think that Austin was targeting me. But I talked to Austin, and she seemed like she was targeting Josh. So, I don't know where that came from, but I think we're fine. I don't think we need to worry. That's kind of, where that goes.
I also feel like we need to shout out to, Kevin Martin, who had the call on Tina being, a standout player here in this cast. And she's working it. She's definitely making an impression on me. I'm watching Tina. I feel like, we're not looking in any kind of, knock on wood, any kind of, Tina being in danger anytime soon. So.
I can't believe I forgot this. I forgot to mention earlier when LaToya was first, ratting out Kyle and Rohan to Jed, Victoria walks into the bedroom, interrupts the conversation. She's like, oh, hey, you guys, perfect. It's been hard to like get people alone to talk. And they're like, yeah, we were just alone trying to talk. And you just came in. This is a whisper. I've been wanting to talk to you guys. I want to work with you guys. I'm going to propose a Final Four alliance with you two, myself, and Ty. So, just wanted to let you know. I think that you guys are great. I would love to make that happen. And I'll just head out. We'll talk later.
Strategy queen. We love to see it. Yes. That was so funny. That was so funny. They, and then, like, just...
They listen to what she says. She leaves. They don't even acknowledge it. They go right back to their conversation. Nothing is said about this for the rest of the day.
They'll look, they might need her at some point in the coming weeks. Who knows when she could be, there are only so many players this season and the gameplay is starting, with less people in the house. So there could be a time where they need to say, hey, Victoria, remember that Final Four? Let's do it. Even though it's like 3 weeks from now. So who knows when that's going to come into play. But I just love, I really hope that makes it on the episode with a good edit behind it, because there is so much gameplay happening in the house and Victoria herself is not involved in all of it in much of it. So just, I love that she was just like, look, all right, I'm having a hard time getting the gameplay happening here. I don't know where I'm supposed to be going to find people to talk to people. You two are in a room. I want to work with you guys. Let's do this. And they were like, She's like, all right, I'll talk to you later.
Yeah. So
effective.
So we finally have the veto competition. The feeds are down for a long time. When they come back, Kiefer has won the power of veto. Kiefer.
Hey,
yes.
Kiefer.
Josh is pretty upset. He came pretty close to winning. Apparently it was one of those things where you're like stacking stuff, and he was ahead at one point, but he got too greedy and lost it. And he's also upset because nobody was cheering him on in the entire competition, that it was very obvious that people were rooting against him.
I can't imagine why. I mean, Kiefer this morning, I don't know if you saw this clip, but Kiefer was on the couch this morning and Kiefer was like, oh, maybe there'll be a twist where Julie and Josh come back in. Cut over. Josh is right there. Josh is literally.
I'm not out yet. Oh, whoops. Oh, man. Sorry, my mistake.
Yeah. So Ty was like, Kiefer, why'd you say that? Josh has been like considered essentially the second boot of the season by everybody in the house the second he, went up on the block. So they were all, really focused on making sure that he did not win the veto. That was worst case scenario for everybody. It had Tara freaking out all morning. We need to make sure that there's, that Josh doesn't win. Like, and Josh literally at one point, like we were talking about him asking Victoria to throw it, but he sat down with Tara. He was like, I don't want to like tell you what to do with your game, but like if you just happen to not not, you know, go as hard in the competition. I feel like I would appreciate that. So he was like trying to like do whatever he could, but there was just really not much he could do. He had to win the veto. He did not win the veto. And he's probably going to go home, but yeah, not a lot of love for Josh in there.
Yeah. Really, the only other thing that happened that night beyond some goofing off was Tara is going to talk with Tina, saying she feels really good about the Rohan and Kyle thing. But she's also talked to Austin and she feels like, hey, we could maybe try and play both sides, maybe pretend to work with Austin and Brayden as well. And then we can, you know, can I kind of, and again, this is where it's like, I appreciate what Tara's trying to do here. She's trying to set herself up in the spot that LaToya was offered. But she's unfortunately just so many steps behind right now that, that she's just not, not there. And so Tina, you know, is, I imagine just standing there like, oh, you poor soul. Sure. Let's do that. Let's talk to Kyle and Ro and let's make this work. But that's basically the day. So what we're going to have is that Kiefer will use the veto on himself. There was a little bit of question about that, but no, he will use the veto on himself. Rohan will go up on the block. As of right now, everyone is voting Josh out. But as we kind of queued up a little bit earlier, that does not mean that things couldn't change. There's definitely time in the week for things to change. And there's a lot of reason for things to change. With Rohan and Kyle trying to build alliances to fight the current HOH and the two people who are running the game, you know, you could see things change for sure. But as of right now, it is definitely looking like Josh. We will just have to wait and see for now.
Yeah, just from like, you know, not actually crunching the numbers or anything on my end of things, I feel like looking at the board, I feel like Tina and LaToya are going to have a pretty big influence on if there's any chance of a vote flip here to make Rohan be the one who goes home this week. And I don't think that happens. I feel like there's a couple of people in the house that can see the value in Josh sticking around as somebody who doesn't have anybody on his side, like is an easy person to pull in as an extra vote. But that also kind of is where Kiefer is at this point. Like they can pull Kiefer in and have that extra number while taking out somebody like Josh. They just don't like him. They don't like Toya especially, and like a couple of the other, they just don't, they don't want him there anymore. So I have a hard time seeing Josh find a way to stay this week. Definitely Rohan is a good person for him to be sitting next to, probably better than if Kiefer stayed up there. Just I don't know. Austin obviously wanted Kiefer out, but it didn't seem like there was much momentum on that end of things. So if Kyle and Rohan keep playing as much as they are to try to get something going, yeah, for sure it could end up blowing up in their face, but it still does feel like it's kind of the end of the road here for Josh. I just hope that, you know, the rest of the week here that they don't, you know, outcast him too much. I feel like it's a little too late for that. The train's kind of already left the station, but I don't know. I saw Beth talking to him a little bit this morning. So I'm hoping that, you know, he can at least, I don't even know if we said this, but like at that one point when that group went upstairs in the HOH room yesterday, the Kyle and Rohan and LaToya and Tara and Tina, I think group, they went upstairs because Josh had entered the room and they were like, oh, I'm sorry, we're just having like a little like huddle here to talk about things. And Josh was like, okay. And he just stayed downstairs while they all went upstairs. They are running away from this man.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's not looking great for Josh, but he was supposed to go all last week as well. And then it didn't happen. So, but looking into next week, if the defenders lose, we are likely looking at a Brayden eviction. Brayden, Kiefer, and maybe Rohan would be the three people who could maybe be put on the block in most circumstances with a Destiny win. And then if the defenders win, we're probably looking at a Victoria, Austin, or Kyle nomination, with Victoria probably being the major target there, depending on who wins, with Tara also being a theoretically a person that could go. But I think LaToya would want to protect Tara. And maybe the guys would want to protect Austin, and that might land it on somebody like Victoria. But again, there's lots of time for things to change, and it depends on who wins and what happens with the veto, and what team wins, and all of that. But basically, we have figured out that the Sunsetters are running this thing. The fact that their alliance is very, very effective this week, that they're controlling the week without even needing to be HOH, is really bonding them together and solidifying what they have, because the power is effective. And so the Sunsetters alliance that consists of Jed, Ty, LaToya, Beth, Tina, and Kiefer, they are spread out running the show. You've got Jed and Ty, you know, who have Austin in their pocket, which by extension means that that they've influence over Brayden. And that means that they also have LaToya, who's now LaToya and Tina, who are in with Kyle and Rohan, and Tara. So they have influence almost everywhere. The only people outside their realm of influence is basically Brayden and Victoria. And so those are the two people who seem to be in the most danger moving forward. And that's where the house is.
You guys got all that? You wrote that all down? You follow it along?
We'll talk here? More on the roundtable. Don't worry, guys.
Yeah, just, you know, everybody should show up to watch the update or to listen to the update. Just get a piece of paper, maybe print out the pictures or something like that, and just start drawing lines as everybody talks in these updates. And then, you know, by the end of it, you'll have like a big, you know, mishmash circle, something going on. But maybe you'll have more clarity if you're not, you know, fully glued to the feed. So that's what these updates are for. But yes, what Taryn just said is Victoria's running the game. She is in the best spot going forward. And we're excited to see how it all plays out. So just in case you missed all that.
Yeah. All right. That's what we have for you for today. I will be back tomorrow morning at 11 a.m. Eastern to update you on everything that happens today on the Big Brother Canada 9 live feeds. Tomorrow night, we will have an episode recap. Rob will be around with us, so that'll be fun. And then Tuesday, the first roundtable of the season, where I will go into more detail about the state of the house and where everything stands. And we will talk Stockwatch. So that'll be very fun. Make sure you don't miss that. I will also be live on Twitch later today, play some Among Us with the real Kyle Moore. Melissa will be there, Puya, and the crew. You can find me twitch.tv/Taryn Armstrong. You can also, of course, find me on Twitter at Armstrong Taryn. Matt, where can people find you?
Find me on Twitter at Matt Liguori. That's my name. You can, if you're a reality TV fan, if you're a challenge fan, I do a challenge podcast every week with Brian Scally, and that's over on the Dom and Colin podcast. We're actually recording today for this week, so that hasn't been out yet, along with Colin Stone. The titular Colin Stone is going to join us to talk about this past episode of the challenge. And also, if you like, you know, if you were like a kid who watched Glee, you could check out me and Amon talking about Glee over on the Choir Room. So that's also what I have going on. But other than that, just, you know, kind of glued to the feeds to see how this all plays out. Watch Victoria on her march to the win. And I'm excited to do so. So thank you, guys. I don't know. I'm about to close my podcast. Go ahead. Sorry.
close us out, Matt.
No,
give us an outro.
Hopefully that gave him on a laugh, but no. This is your thing. I'm sorry.
All right. Well, thank you. Thank you guys so much for joining us today. Yeah, that's what we got. It's easy. Anybody can outro. I mean,
but I'm literally like so trained to just do it myself.
All right. We will see you all later.